Hello, hello. Welcome. Happy Wednesday to everyone. You're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, your pal, your friend, every Wednesday from noon to one on ArtSpeak Radio. So thank you so much for making us a priority and tuning us in today. So we've got in the studio, we've got Erica Iman, Nick Ward-Bopp, Mark Allen's going to join us, and Benzie Garza. We've got all kinds of wonderful things to share with you this afternoon. Because Mark Allen is coming in today and he's going to talk, he is like the pineapple king. So we have a complimentary pineapple tidbits for our guest today. Just sounded like a good thing to do. Let me introduce our first guest. Erica Iman makes hand-built, one-of-a-kind vessels that are often reflective of forms or fragments found in nature. And she enjoys the raw material properties of clay and minerals and is continuously experimenting with these materials and processes to advance her work. Now, she received her BFA in ceramics and BSE in art from the University of Missouri Columbia and obtained her MFA in ceramics from Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville. So I want to say welcome to the program, Erica Iman.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So, you know, when I looked at your work, when I saw your website, I was very excited about your work because it's very tactile and it's very organic. So let's talk about your work.
Yeah, I use a lot of kind of geological processes, natural processes in my work. I experiment heavily with the raw materials and trying to kind of expose kind of their natural properties and inherent properties and kind of mimicking processes in nature. So kind of like you'd see, think of a desert cracked earth surface from extreme heating. And so I try to play with those a little bit in my work, bring in surfaces from everything from weathered stone with those nice soft curves to, you know, kind of a speckled, deteriorated looking lichen on the surface of, say, a tree bark or stones and things. So, yeah, I like to experiment and really bring in a lot of those surfaces and fragments that I come across in nature. So,
and, you know, and it feels like some of the work feels like it's been unearthed, that it's been discovered in some sort of archaeological dig. Is there any sort of reference to that in your work?
I really enjoy kind of that untouched look that really kind of centers me. So, like, if I, a lot of times if I'm out just walking, I pick up small fragments from everything from little chunks of dirt that have kind of fallen apart. Again, you know, pieces of maybe bark or stones, sticks, and anything that's kind of had that weathered, deteriorating look. And I really connect to that kind of untouched, kind of settled look. So I really try to bring that into whether I'm making something that's more sculptural or even pottery that is more function based. So.
Yeah, and I want to tell listeners that Erica has taught in various schools and community art centers and currently a studio artist in Kansas City and a founding member of the KC Urban Potters. And so when we were in the green room, we talked briefly about an upcoming event that the KC Potters, Urban Potters, is throwing, right?
Yeah, I'm a member. We have 7 members in our group. We're all professional potters here in Kansas City. And we have a little shop front, and 3 of us have studios in the back of that shop front, just pretty much across the street here from the studios on Westport Road. So we have that shop space. And this weekend, we actually, one of the main reasons the 7 of us got together was to create an event in Kansas City that really brought together the ceramics community, really played on that strong ceramics history here in Kansas City, and bringing in artists from across the country to really expose people to new work, new artists, ideas. And so this weekend we have what we're calling the Midwest Pottery Fest. And so this weekend we're bringing in 6 artists from around the country, a few that are local here, well-known Stephen Hill in the area, and Kyler Strid from Lawrence. And we are having a pottery sale, so we'll have all of the work of the artists up for sale and displayed. We're actually going to be using the space across the street, the drugstore, their kind of gallery space.
Yeah.
So Yeah, and we are going to have that on display, and we're going to have lots of events going on all weekend. So it's both Saturday and Sunday of this weekend, the 7th and 8th. And we're going to have artist demonstrations all weekend. Our studio spaces, our shop front will be stripped out, and we'll have demonstrations that are free for everyone to come and see how the artists make their work and be able to talk to the artists and ask questions.
I think that's great. I think, you know, rarely do you really, you know, get to see something created and talk one-on-one with artists that are creating, you know, art.
Yeah,
that's terrific.
Yeah, and having their work displayed right there, and they can explain the process and how it's made.
Because it really is pretty complex, isn't it?
It is. Ceramics is a process intensive medium, and it has a lot of steps and know-how in it. And so a lot of people that are interested in ceramics get into learning about all of those processes pretty heavily. So it's nice to have the artist there to be able to explain their surface techniques, forming techniques, and all of those things. Yeah.
You know, I took ceramics as an elective at the Art Institute, and I was really lousy at it. Really, really bad. Of course, I had really long hair, and I was on the wheel, and I just got
Long hair and potter's wheel.
Yeah, but, you know, for me, I love the glazes. I love, you know, the many possibilities with glaze.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, there's so many avenues to go with surface and ceramics, and there's such a richness in a lot of the glazes. You can layer, and there's a lot of chemical reactions that are happening during the firings that create surfaces that you just can't get anywhere else. I've heard of a lot of painters even going to ceramic, even kind of tablet kind of painting style, just to get some of those depths of surface that you can get with glazes. So,
now, is there kind of a I won't say hit and miss, but sort of happy accidents that can happen during a firing?
Definitely, yeah. It's definitely kind of in the language of potters and clay artists is that kind of chance happening in the kiln. Yeah. And you know, sometimes it works out great and sometimes it doesn't. And that's all kind of part of the excitement of the process. And sometimes you get those, like, wonderful gems that were completely somewhat unplanned or, kind of put in the way of luck, in a sense, and hoping for the best sometimes. So, yeah.
You know, talking about your work, where you say that you're drawn to the geological formations and landscapes and that sort of thing, are there any areas that really inspire you, such as like the Grand Canyon or perhaps arches or, you know, in Utah?
Yeah.
Anything specific?
Definitely. Yeah. I look at a lot of rock formations and I try to get out and travel as much as I can. I lived out in Oregon for a few years, and the Oregon coastline has that really dramatic, gorgeous, just kind of black rock cliffs that are broken, and they just have that kind of strength and fragility at the same time. And those types of places really kind of center me and take me into that zone that, you know, I hope to pull a little bit into my work. I've done some different traveling over the years. I was in the Peace Corps for a few years in Mongolia, and that was kind of when I really decided to start focusing on ceramics as a profession. And the landscape there was just this vastness of open space that really had this kind of this solitude to it, and this kind of reflective atmosphere that that I think has influenced my work heavily.
In the Peace Corps, what was your role?
I actually taught English in the Peace Corps and did a little bit of community gardening projects. That was my main role.
And then that sort of brought you to ceramics.
I had done ceramics before that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't think I was really committed to making it like my life's profession at that point. I was still kind of dabbling in some other things and trying things out. And it was during that time, that I, being away from it, that really drew me back into it and realizing that I really wanted it to be, you know, my career and life. So,
And you also traveled In Japan, right? For a ceramic arts program there?
Yeah, directly after Peace Corps. Mm-hmm. Instead of coming straight back to the United States, I went to Japan. Tokoname, which is one of the six ancient kiln sites in Japan, they had a program there in town. And so, yeah, I spent the summer there, got to know a lot of the local artists and research the history in Japan, did some wood firing there. And so, yeah, really got to know the culture in Japan, which is highly respective of ceramic artists, and they have a lot of national treasures that are, you know, potters and clay artists. So, yeah.
Now, if you just tuned in, I'm talking to Erica Eyman, and would you share with us your website?
Yeah, it's my name, Erica Eyman, ericaiman.com, and I'm also on social media with my name also, so.
But as we were talking about your work and references to landscape and sort of the environment and that, you also have functional pottery as well, right? Didn't I see some porcelain in there?
I use a variety of clays, porcelain, stonewares, a variety of temperatures. And yeah, I go back and forth. I'll do a body of work that's more sculptural, and then I'll switch up and make more functional work. I really enjoy working on both ends, where sculpture, the door's wide open for anything. And then sometimes it's nice to have that boxed in, you know, functionality. Sometimes you can get even more creative that way by saying, okay, this has to, you know, actually hold a liquid or, you know, be comfortable in the hand. So, yeah, I enjoy kind of going back and forth. And even that space in between is a lot of where I'll find my most interesting work, really, having a little bit of a containment aspect or vessel aspect to the work, but being able to utilize kind of the surfaces and forms and experiments that I've pulled in from my sculpture work. So blending those two a little bit. So,
and again, if you would share with us the KC Urban Potters event that's coming up this weekend.
Yeah, that's the Midwest Pottery Fest, and it's this weekend, the 7th through 8th, and it'll be right here in Westport at 4 Westport Road and across the street at the drugstore. So,
yeah, that's terrific. They're just right across the street from us here at 39th and Main.
Right.
Also, with your studio work and teaching, you also garden and work in the antiques and design side of your husband's auction business. So you're pretty busy.
Yeah, I like to keep my hands busy, so yeah.
It's all good. It's all good. Right. Is there anything that we left out that you want to mention before we close out?
No, I think that we'll be at the Midwest Pottery Fest this weekend, and like I said, all the artists are demonstrating and talking, and I'll be talking again on Sunday at 2:15.
We like that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm going to offer you, Erica, the pineapple tidbits.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
You can take them with you.
Excellent.
And we're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio after this. And you're listening to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd. Thank you so much for tuning in and making us a part of your day. So, next up, we have Nick Wardbop, who is co-owner of Maker Village, which is a community woodworking and metalworking shop here in Midtown. They have a monthly intro to woodworking, metalworking classes, and their shop is open every Saturday. Their long-term goal is to lower the barriers into the maker movement for Midtowners, nonprofits, and entrepreneurs. And we're going to talk to Nick about what's happening at Maker Village. Also, he runs the Black and Veatch Makerspace at the Johnson County Library, where they help patrons learn to use digital fabrication technologies like 3D modeling, 3D printing, vector drawing, CNC cutting, laser cutting, all of that we're going to talk to Nick about. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Nick, Maker Village. This is really cool, and it's right in our backyard at, what, 31st and Gillum?
31st and Cherry.
Ah, yeah. So what happens in Maker Village?
Yeah, so right now, you did a great job explaining it. We have an intro to woodworking monthly, intro to metalworking, and then we have open shop every Saturday. So you don't need a membership to utilize open shop. You don't need a membership to utilize the intro classes. And then we have monthly make and take classes where you can maybe learn how to make a hand-carved wooden spoon mm-hmm. or cutting board or serving board, that sort of thing.
Sort of whatever idea you bring to the maker space, to the maker village, they help you sort of, you know, realize that,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Especially for Open Shop, it's a great time to, you know, if you need to fix, you know, we had somebody just fix a table the other week. We have people come in and make their own serving boards. We have people make their own custom guitar pedals, racks for their equipment. You know, literally anything that you can utilize, the, you know, mm-hmm. a welder, mm-hmm. you know, and the woodworking equipment will help you do it.
Yeah. Now, is there an orientation to using the different machines in that?
It's a great question. Yeah. So you can take intro to woodworking or intro to metal, and we'll give you an orientation on the equipment, that, you know, the main stuff in the shop, but you don't have to. So if you come to Open Shop, you don't know how to use something, but you do want to use it that day, we just give you the orientation and safety training on it right then and there. Mm-hmm. You can also have us cut it, and we're fine with that.
Oh, good. Yeah.
You can also pay by the cut or by the hour. We're getting flexible, and we're trying to meet people where they're at in whatever project they're working on.
How many folks do you have on staff, or is it a one-man job?
Oh, that's a great question. So we have our Intro to Wood instructor, Zach Jordan, who is a self-taught woodworker. Great. He's definitely got the bug of learning woodworking and a passion to teach others. Angelica Sandoval is our intro to metalworking instructor. She's a ceramicist. She's a, you know, studio artist. She's amazing. She teaches at Inner Urban Art House, JCCC. She's great.
Yeah, she's going to be on the show next month.
Oh, awesome. Yeah,
we love her.
Oh, man, she's got she's so talented.
She's a designer, yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. And then Sam Green's my co-founder, partner. He's an engineer, brings a lot of skill in, you know, system engineering, and just, you know, he's a mm-hmm. great troubleshooter.
Yeah. You know, that space, again, 31st and Cherry, you say,
uh-huh.
yeah, it has all the woodworking, metalworking mm-hmm. tools that you need. Is there any other printing or...
Well, the neighborhood is awesome. So we have Oddities Prints next door.
Oh, that's right.
That does screen printing, mm-hmm. Design, and then they have a bunch of cool events where you can bring your own designs and print on T-shirts. We have the 816 Bike Collective, so mm-hmm. you can learn how to wrench on your own bike, or, you know, buy a bike that's not super expensive. You know,
yeah.
We have the Print League, which is at Two Tone Press. So it's letterpress, lithography, yeah. lots of different stuff. And there are a handful of other organizations in yeah. the neighborhood. So it's a very DIY-oriented neighborhood where you can learn.
And, of course, if you get hungry, you can eat at Attitudes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's terrific breakfast.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. We're excited. Yeah. You know, more options are better.
So how many folks can you fit in this space at any given time? I mean, you probably want to allow for some sort of, well, you know, give everyone a fair amount of workspace, right?
Sure. So we have about 2,000 square foot shop. So that's not huge. We usually limit most of our classes to 6 people right now. And that just gives everybody their own workbench, access mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. A work environment that they're not, you know, climbing over each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Sawing off each other's arms
yeah,
and legs.
Exactly.
Because that could be ugly.
Right.
You know, you also house the Cherry Pit Collective,
uh-huh.
right? And that's a great group of talented women that are entrepreneurs and paper makers, print makers, and all of that. So, yeah.
Yeah, Kelsey Pike is the director of the Cherry Pit Collective, and they have a great, great group of artists, super talented, very diverse. And Kelsey also leads a neighborhood annual event called Wanderfest.
Is that coming up?
It's coming up May 6th.
Oh, yeah.
So it's free. We have beer donated from Boulevard Brewery. We have whiskey drinks donated from Rieger. We have... obviously, shop tours. The whole uh-huh. neighborhood's just alive, and
yeah.
it's, you know, it's really, really exciting. You know, we've been in the neighborhood for over 4 years, and it's transformed. And you know, people are walking around. It's much more pedestrian friendly, and it's getting
it really
more.
Is.
It's getting more yeah. and more pedestrian friendly.
Yeah, it's really a great place to go. What are some of the things that people have brought to you to create in Maker Village?
Well, Kelsey next door, she makes paper, and so she will make envelopes. So she'll take, you know, pulp and then press it. And she wanted to make a screen that was the shape of like an A6 envelope that's fully flattened out. You can imagine you fold it up. So we helped her create the form, you know, the wood edge and then the screen that that goes inside of, specifically for that A6 envelope and A9, I think. And she said, this is not something that a lot of other people are doing in the papermaking world. So it was really cool to help her. And we utilized the laser cutter. We utilized, you know, the hand router. And, you know, she learned how to use the bandsaw that day. So it was really cool.
Wow.
And so it's nice to work with business owners, entrepreneurs, but also just people, you know, looking to make something.
Mm-hmm. And so there's no membership.
Right now we're trialing memberships. We're also working on a new website because right now it just goes to our Eventbrite page where you can access all the classes we've talked about. So the new website hopefully will communicate, you know, the different ways to access the shop and memberships.
Yeah, and what are your hours there?
So right now we're open Saturdays for Open Shop every Saturday indefinitely. And then we usually have our classes, our monthly classes, Thursday nights for the make and take classes. And then our intro classes are on Sundays.
Is this something that you would bring a child to? I mean, if not working with, you know, super huge tools, power tools and that sort of thing, but say a child wanted to make, you wanted to work with your kid on some sort of wood thing.
Sure. Right now, 16 is the limit. You need to come with an adult for most of our classes. But we do have classes, and we post, and we let people know that it's kid-friendly, and we do have those occasionally. There are also a lot of other places in town to go for you know, kid-friendly projects.
Okay.
Hammer Space is great. Yeah. They have welding for kids. It's like welding for teenagers. Yeah, so they, you know, and if you haven't heard of Hammer Space or if the listeners haven't, look them up. They're amazing. Yeah. Great shop.
They just moved to the new off Cleaver Boulevard. Yes.
Yeah. And big shop. I mean, their metalworking area is bigger than our entire shop.
I have yet to get
it's awesome.
To the new place.
Yeah. And then there's Maker Studio down at Union Station. Lots of 3D printing. Mm-hmm. They do hand woodworking stuff there, and that's great for kids. And also the Johnson County Library, free. Great for kids, no age limit as well.
You know, we're going to take a real quick break. I've got some underwriting to air, and then we're going to be back with Nick Ward Bopp.
Awesome.
So stay tuned. This is Art Speak Radio. Hello, Maria Vasquez Boyd here every Wednesday with you. And I've got Nick Ward Bopp, who's a co-owner of Maker Village, here in the studio live with me. Hello, Nick. Welcome back.
Thanks for being here.
Not that you ever went anywhere, but it's great to have you here. You know, at the break, we had I had mentioned to you, I want to talk about the Black and Veatch Makerspace at the Johnson County Library. What's all that about?
So it's an amazing place. It's about 1,700 square feet. We've got 4 full-time staff. We've got 3D printers. We've got laser cutters, vinyl cutters. We've got a sound studio. We've got a green screen. We've got cameras.
Wow.
We've got recording equipment. And the best part, it's all free. Don't need a library card.
Yeah.
Don't even need to be
is
from
that
Johnson,
right?
Johnson County. Hmm. So, you know, it is an amazing place. We have hours that are, you know, we're open pretty much all week except for Wednesdays. So we have, you know, 11 different pieces of equipment that you can reserve during the day, you know. Up to 2 hours per day. It's totally free. You don't need to take any classes to use the equipment. You can just make a reservation using your name and email address online. We, like you mentioned, it's the Black and Veatch Makerspace at the Johnson County Library. So it's a unique public-private partnership where Black and Veatch actually helps us support our annual budget. So they help us buy new equipment. They help us provide 3D printing filament so it doesn't cost anything. You can
That's
come
really
and 3D
smart.
Print stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, we get people coming in who are repairing something, fixing something, or working on a new prototype. So, you know, there's no age limit. We have intergenerational groups coming in. We have people, you know, kids that live in the neighborhood that are walking over. It's really open to anybody.
Man, I love hearing about that. Now, the Johnson County Library, where is that located?
87th in Antioch, but it's actually right at Farley. So it's Antioch's kind of the main artery that's nearby, but it's on the south side of the street, right off 87th.
Because they did some recent renovations there, didn't they?
They did, yeah. So the makerspace actually opened after those renovations completed on January 2016.
Now, you say you don't even need to have a library card to make a reservation, but you have to have a reservation in order to be able to use some of... No, you just
walk in. You can walk in. We have equipment, laser cutters, 3D printers that are available just for walk-ins.
What are some of the things that people come in and make and they're at the library?
Sure. I mean, we have leather workers that come in and use the laser cutter to engrave into the leather. We have ceramicists come in that engrave into the ceramic. We have people, that are working agriculture or beekeeping that come in and 3D print or laser cut ways to, isolate a queen. Like the weirdest stuff you can imagine. Yeah, wow. People come in to use it.
I need to start hanging out there.
It's really cool, yeah.
Wow, that's terrific. Also, they provide access to sewing machines, you see?
Yeah, we have a clothing repair workshop that's monthly, taught by Jessica Rogers, who's a textile expert and, a great sewist. You can make a reservation for the sewing machine or just pop in to see if it's available.
Would that also include, like, sergers?
We don't have a serger yet.
Wow. This is cool. A sound booth and green screen. That's pretty awesome. So that's at the Johnson County Library at 87th and
Farley. Yep.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, and I'll give a plug for the Kansas City Public Library. They're actually opening a new branch with a professional studio, sound recording studio, their Southeast branch. And I don't know the date, and I don't know the exact size, but it's a it's a professional recording studio, so it's really exciting.
We might have to move the station out there.
That's right. Yeah. So our sound booth is so popular.
Wow.
We get kids coming in, young rappers, artists. We have families that come in and record together. We have podcasters. We have people doing voiceovers, self publishers, NGOs that are doing video recordings and publishing it to, sub-Saharan Africa. So
man, that's great.
It's utilized for all sorts of stuff, and it's reserved out, weeks in advance sometimes.
You seem pretty excited about this, Nick.
I am.
Yeah, well, between Maker Village and the Black and Beach Makerspace at Johnson County Library, you keep pretty busy.
I do.
Do you have time to make your own kind of stuff?
Well, my wife and I just bought a house in Hyde Park,
doing
a lot of demo, and we did a lot of demo on Maker Village when we first bought it, and so it's kind of exciting, listening to podcasts and just swinging a hammer. It's kind of fun. Yeah.
Terrific, Nick Ward-Bopp. Websites that you want to share with us or social media?
Yeah, makervillagekc.org is the website. That's where you can sign up for any classes at Maker Village. And then for the Johnson County Library Makerspace, it's jocolibrary.org/makerspace.
Terrific. Hey, you know what? Nick Ward-Bopp, just like I offered Erica,
I would love some pineapples.
Pineapple tidbits. Now, I just hope that Mark Allen shows up and
I hope so, too.
Life happens like that. And this is live radio, so there you go.
Yeah.
Enjoy, Nick Ward-Bopp.
Thank you.
And we're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. You should do that. The 2018 band auction. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyes. Now, I can tell you that last year I won several bids and had a great time with the band auction with Starhaven Rounders, Drew Hatzlan, and Calvin Arsenia. So do that. It starts Friday. My next guest is someone you all should know and love. Benzi Garza is an internationally acclaimed artist. He's an award-winning designer and consultant. He is the founder and principal designer of Garza Art and Design, which is a design studio based here in Kansas City, and specializes in surface design, art licensing, and product development. He has collaborated with and created collections for high-profile brands such as Apple, Disney, Target, Pottery Barn, Neiman Marcus, Kleenex, Avon, Walmart, Dick's Sporting Goods, and so on. Also, the Philadelphia Museum of Art has his work there that he's created. So, welcome, my friend.
Thank you.
Well, Benzi, I have to tell you, I've known Benzi for some time. We've worked together. I met you probably mid-90s or so, and you were working for Home as a designer and everything. It's great to see so much going on for you because you've just really flourished in your work, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah, so you've got about 30 years of experience and knowledge in design, so yeah. You know, you also are an art consultant, and how does that work? What do when people come to you as an art consultant, where do you begin with that?
Well, they bring me their artwork, and they want to know what they can do beyond showing at art shows and galleries.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I evaluate their work, and I give them different avenues that they could maybe pursue. Art licensing is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Art licensing for?
It's for different manufacturers, for mm-hmm. different products.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always ask them to envision if they go into a store and look at a piece of artwork on a product, mm-hmm. if they think that's something they may want to do, they may mm-hmm. want to pursue that.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that comes from your background, because I remember at one time you were also creating designs for the Nelson Atkins Museum.
Well, I self-published back
right.
in the 90s.
Yeah.
And the Nelson Atkins.
Oh, you those posters.
Carried
those
this up, the posters, the prints,
yeah.
the T-shirts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I self-published, but I wanted to see my products on with other companies that sold those items
yeah.
with my artwork on them.
Do you find that artists very have sort of a narrow vision in terms of where they want to be with their work, and you just help them sort of discover other avenues?
Yes. They're conditioned. Well, we're all conditioned in school. You're going to be a studio artist, and you're probably
yeah.
going to do art shows.
Yeah.
Or you're going to go into graphic design. And but actually, if you go into a store and you see a product, you'll see a painting was used for a puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
For example,
mm-hmm.
this
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'll see prints that are being sold or posters with artwork.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I've always asked artists, did you ever wonder how that worked? And that's where I come in and I show them
yeah.
how to approach that.
Well, are you still kind of knocked out when you see your designs, like in Walmart or Target or, you know, from Pottery Barn and all this? I mean, do you still feel kind of that excitement of, you know, this
well,
is my stuff?
It's always exciting, but now I've gotten used to it. I do get contacted by manufacturers to present.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And but I've always wondered, like I went into Target, I remembered, and mm-hmm. I remember seeing their gift bags, and I said, well, I can do that. How do I mm-hmm. go about doing
mm-hmm.
this?
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing is I was just curious.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then once I went ahead and found out how I could go about doing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and your background is as an artist, right?
Yes.
And you were working here for a local card company, right?
Yes.
A certain card company.
Yes.
And so how did you learn the business of art and sort of licensing and all that? Was it?
One of the things I figured out, for instance, let's say the Kansas City Chiefs, for instance,
mm-hmm.
you will see the logo. You'll see it on T-shirts and sweatshirts.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into a store one time, and I even saw their logo, like on a party unit, paper plates and napkins.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, okay, well, how did they do that? I want to get my artwork on some products.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then I went and found out that there was art licensing is how mm-hmm. you went about it. So I just looked at brands. I looked at I saw Disney, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Mickey Mouse on different products.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew there was something going on there, and that's when I found out there was the international licensing show in New York at the time, and I said, I want to be part of that. And I started exhibiting there.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I want to mention to folks who've just tuned in, I'm talking to Benzie Garza, who's an internationally acclaimed artist, award-winning designer and consultant. And oftentimes you do the art consulting in large groups and organizations, not for profit, is that right?
Yes. It varies. Uh-huh. Right now I'm currently doing one for Buttonwood
Art Space.
Yes.
Yeah. And that is sold out.
Yes.
So good for you.
Yes.
So, and that's April 14th. So the workshop, who is that geared for?
It's geared for artists that want to learn how to make passive income through their artwork.
Mm-hmm. Would that include just photographers or?
It includes everybody.
Yeah.
Jewelry, sculpture, uh-huh. you name it.
radio host?
Yes. Yes.
Well, yeah, the workshop is for artists, photographers, and designers who are interested in learning how to earn passive income. I love that with her creativity. So you learn what art licensing is,
yes,
right? And how to get started and so on. What are some other topics that you cover?
Some of the other topics that I cover when it comes to other than art licensing,
uh-huh,
it's they just want to come up with different pieces of artwork that they hadn't considered.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For example, there's people who just do, there's painters, for instance, or there's people who do drawings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I always wondered if they see their drawings in 3D. For instance, how do you go about doing that?
Yeah. And other topics, maybe, what, copyrights, contracts?
Oh, yes, yes. We cover the copyrights. We cover branding. We cover, I cover logos. It's all those different topics, if that's what they want to know. I also cover topics such as selling artwork to fashion print. If you see someone walking by and they have a dress with a floral pattern, or if you see a necktie, if you see argyle, that's a different industry.
Mm-hmm.
People may want to sell instead of just license their art. They may want to sell to fashion print.
Do you think, have you seen a change in that, a shift in that, where people are beginning to think about that, seeing their work more in 3D, or is it sort of just now kind of like, I'm thinking about having something more than just a painting?
Well, right now, what has really taken off is PODs, that's print on demand.
Yeah.
And what that means, there's a lot of websites, there's a lot of companies there, and they invite artists to put their artwork on the websites.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that artwork can be put on a different items.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
go to mugs, they do to backpacks, they do umbrellas and so on like that. Those are PODs. And what that means is your artwork is on that website under your own store name.
Oh, okay.
And if people order one of your items, then you'll get a commission. Mm-hmm. Which is basically like a royalty. And there's tons of those.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's some that promote you, and there's the ones that don't.
See, I was going to ask you, what are some of the cautionary tales that you can share with us?
Yes, well, they're the ones...
Without charging me.
They're the ones that everybody and their mother can sign up for.
Yeah.
But who knows you're there?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then there are the others. There's some that are curated.
Mm.
That means that they're selective. You may or may not get on their website. And then what they do, those print-on-demand companies, what they do is they show at different markets, and they promote your work.
Wow. Yeah. There's a lot to learn and, you know, and just how to market and license yourself. And Benzie Garza, your website, if you would share with us.
It's BenzieGarza.com.
Will we see some of your work there that's been licensed in different companies?
Yes.
We find that on your website.
Yes.
Yeah, what else are we going to find on your website? Upcoming events or anything?
Well, I don't have the upcoming events right now on there, but I do have the consulting section. And if there's artists or organizations who are interested in knowing how that works, they may contact me.
Individuals.
Yes.
And that goes for any sort of discipline of art, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that you recently had a presentation through Gilded, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Good.
Very. That's a great organization, by the way.
Yeah, it really is. You know, my hat's off to Susanna Braun. She was one of the co-founders of that, or she may be the actual founder, but that was really well attended. And from that, were you able to share what you did with the audience and maybe get some sort of contact with some of the people that were present?
Well, yes. I thank Susanna for contacting me. Gilda was excellent. I went to speak, and I did a presentation, and I had artists. It was a they asked different questions, and then at the end, they asked me what I was interested in.
Mm-hmm. And what
through
are you interested
in? Through that, I wanted to teach other artists how it was to how they could create artwork for different products and go beyond galleries.
Yeah.
And it was Gilded as a result of that. Then that's when someone contacted me that's when Buttonwood Artspace contacted me.
Oh. So, Benzie, what are you working on? Because like I mentioned at the top of the discussion, the interview, Apple and Disney and Target and Pottery Barn, what's on the horizon for you?
Well, it's interesting that you should ask that.
Sure.
Because, well, first of all, I'm all over the place because I get bored easily. So let's just start right there. So that explains why I'm all over the place. I get bored easily.
Yeah.
And I also, I get inspired at the moment. Mm-hmm. So I'll pursue that avenue, mm-hmm. for instance. But right now, my most current is I just got in with a manufacturer that produces artwork for hotels and different spaces. And it's the hospitality industry. So that's who I'm pursuing right now.
Oh, wow. Wow. Good for you. Yeah. So are you really close or is it
Well, I'm a digital artist. Right. First of all, that's one thing. Yeah. People say, what are you? I said, well, I've done oils, acrylics, et cetera, et cetera, but I'm a digital painter now. And that's the kind of artwork that I'm producing. But the fact that I get in the fact that I got in a catalog with this company, all the hotels, when they're looking for artwork, if they're looking for a specific, my artwork's available. I get invited to do presentations for some of those hotels, or they don't have to be hotels. Mm-hmm. It could be a new building. It could be a new building, you know, anywhere in the country.
Yeah. What advice do you have for folks who are just starting out in the art field, with your experience and, you know, 30 years of proven experience and knowledge in design and product development, what are some tips, some advice that you might want to give people?
I would just say be open. Anything's possible. And look beyond, look beyond doing just art shows with your art. Look beyond that. And I do ask them, look around and look at the artwork. It's everywhere. And have that attitude, well, why can't they use mine? Versus just not paying attention or I'm not good enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting because, you know, as a graduate of the Art Institute, a lot of people, you know, want to go on a graduate school, which is great. But beyond that, I mean, you have to really kind of think outside of what you know.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Well, you have to have that curiosity. That's what helped me.
Curiosity, yeah.
I saw a cookie jar in a store. I looked at the box. I looked at the artist. And I said, wait a minute. How did they get that on there? Mm-hmm. So that was the first thing. That was one thing that got my attention. And then I started seeing artwork like on a shower curtain. And I said, well, I can do that. So it was that curiosity. How do you do it? And then I explored that avenue. So I always was curious, you know, where did they get that artwork from?
Were you always
Why can't mine be on there?
Were you always this curious as a small child?
Yes. It wasn't necessarily a good trait.
I was going to say a little scary stories. We may not want to share that.
No.
We love you, Benzie. Yeah, Benzie and I worked together for a while, like I said, in the mid-90s, and it's been a pleasure to know you that long. And now my daughter knows you and loves you.
Yes.
She just shakes her head, Benzie. We love our Benzie. So the Buttonwood Art Space is sold out. That's the next workshop that you're going to present at April 14th, Introduction to Art Licensing. So, you know, folks can contact you for individual art consultations and other services?
Yes. Now, there's something that some artists may not want to see their artwork on products.
Yeah.
But
That's such a sellout.
But they still can make passive income. Yeah. There's also the art collector section, and there's limited edition prints. Mm-hmm. And I encourage artists to take, you know, they can, there's a term I hear, selling out.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means because to me, there's certain artists that I look up to. I looked at Andy Warhol, for instance.
Yeah.
I see what his artwork is selling. He was a commercial artist. Mm-hmm. I considered myself a commercial artist. So I see that his paintings are still valued at X amount of dollars, but I see his artwork on rugs and dishes, et cetera.
Oh, yeah.
But I have met artists who what they do is they produce two different types of art.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They produce one for the serious collectors and to galleries. And then they create the other artwork that's for passive income. And in some cases, they don't use the same name.
Mm-hmm.
I go by a different name mm-hmm. for some other products that I do when I just sell to anybody and their mother, when especially my surface designs.
Is that Fluffy Garza? Just kidding. But, you know, as a graduate of the Art Institute, you know, there was a lot of sellout, you know, it was like illustrators versus, you know, the sculptors or whatever, that, you know, when you go to work for a bigger company, then you're sort of a sellout or that sort of thing. I mean, I've heard that, you know, throughout my career at the Art Institute, but, you know.
You just have to create the type of artwork that you're comfortable with. Yeah. There's types of artwork that I won't, that I'm not comfortable with. And I just don't do it. That's sure. it. It's that simple. Sure. I don't have to. You just do whatever you're comfortable with. That's the advice I give to artists.
I like that. Is there anything else that we need to discuss that we haven't mentioned, Benzie?
No, just, hey, I just encourage artists to look around and ask your question, why can't my artwork be there?
Would that also work for performance art, for musicians?
It's the same pattern. It's the same. I call it a template, is what I call it. It's the same template.
Okay.
You just go look up to someone else that you admire, what they're doing. If that's an avenue you want to pursue, you could easily pursue that.
I admire you, Benzie Garza.
Thank you.
BenzieGarza.com for more information about Benzie, his services, his work. Read a little bit more about Benzie and find out, you know, if, I mean, he's got some great advice and proven experience. So, yeah, we thank you so much, Benzie.
Thank you.
Love you. Would you like to have a complimentary pineapple tidbit?
If it's free, yes. Due to budget cuts.
We love you, kiddo. And so that concludes another episode of Art Speak Radio. I want to invite you to stay tuned next for Jeff Harshbarger. He'll be here with Jazz in the afternoon following Art Speak Radio, and then we have Groovy Grant, Old G's Hangout, following that from 3 to 6. I want to thank Erica Iman, Nick Ward, Bob, and, of course, Benzie Garza, Mark Allen. I'm going to get you next week, April 4th. No, April 11th. I can't read my own writing. Sarah Hyde-Spiedler will be here. Artist Donna Moore, John Brick, C.J. Charbonnet, and Area TV join us next week. So thank you so much for listening. And before we sign off, I have a little bit of music in honor of Gabrielle, Jimmy, Mike, and Nick. Thank you all for listening.